name do we call upon? Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes that's the prayer we need. Jesus, help me. Amen. What did he say? We know in Hebrews 4:16, right? We can come boldly to that throne of grace that we might receive help and mercy, right? Glory to God. Don't forget that part. I better read it. I can't remember. I don't know why I'm quoting a scripture, but that's a good one. Hebrews 4:16. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when you call on Jesus, he comes to our aid. Amen. 4:16. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. And if you've got need, sometimes the shortest prayer is Jesus or Jesus help. Amen. Glory to God. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad you came to church tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray and we'll step into the Word of God. Amen. Father, we thank you that you are our helper, our strengthener, our life. Lord, without you, Lord, we can do nothing. We need you, Lord, more than anything else, Lord. We want to love you, Lord, more than we love anything else. We want to know you, Lord, more than we know anyone else. Father, you have to become number one in our life, Father. And Lord, tonight I just surrender to you, Lord, that you will bring forth the truth of your word, Lord God, as never before. Open the eyes of our heart and the eyes of our understanding, Lord, and feed us. Feed us from your word, Lord, by your spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Well, who knows what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights? Hallelujah. Well, it's, well, we're not really sure, but we've been talking about authority. And in the midst of that, we are looking at some of the major names of the enemy. And we said, well, why are we looking at some of the names of Satan? And we said, because, number one, in it's over in 2 Corinthians, which verse is that? Yeah, 2:11. I want to make sure I had the right verse. 2 Corinthians 2:11, he says, what does he say? He says, we are not to be ignorant of his devices, of Satan's work. It says here, we don't want Satan to get an advantage of us. It says, lest Satan should take advantage of you, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And when we look, well, yeah, we're not. We don't have to be. But when we look at the names of Satan, they reveal three things to us. We talked about that, and we said it reveals, number one, his position, right? We talked about his position. Secondly, it reveals his activity. And thirdly, they reveal his character. And we saw that his position is one where originally he was Lucifer, right? With God in heaven, he was cast from heaven. He lost his position with God. And a certain amount of his authority right there. He was cast to the earth and bound to this lower earthly region. Yes. And so we are not, of course, to give him any place in our life. We have to realize this because many times people come to God and say, Lord, help me. And he's waiting for us to do something about that devil. We have to decide, I'm going to take the authority that God has already given to me. It's great to go to God. Lord, you can help you, and he will help you. But there are many times when the enemy, we have an enemy. And we have to realize the enemy is trying to trick us, to deceive us, to take us down. And as we've been going through this about authority, we saw his position that he was the anointed cherub. He was he's the God, you know, the Prince of Peace, the power of the Prince of the power of the air. You know, we looked at him being the Prince of Devils, the God of this world system. He runs that world system out there. Everything that you see in the natural isn't just people doing stuff. There is a devil behind there, and he works to deceive and cause confusion and cause trouble. How many know God's not the troublemaker? Amen. God's not your trouble. He's your answer. Many people, you know, put a lot of things over on God. They think, oh, God's bothering me. God might be bringing this disease on me. And it's not true. The Bible said it is Satan who is the troublemaker. He's the one. He is the oppressor. He is the one that comes as the tempter, as we saw last week. You know, he is the destroyer. And all of those things speak of what he does, how he operates, what is his position, and what is his character. He doesn't have very good character. That's right. We're learning that. We saw that. We also talked about last week, of course, about temptation. We said, hey, he is the tempter. What does that mean? To be tempted. To be drawn away, James said, when we looked in James 1. Let's go over there for a minute and review that for a second. James chapter 1. Amen. Let's look at verse 12. Let's start there. James 1, verse 12. It said, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and lusts and enticed. That when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And he says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. See, a lot of times people think, well, it's just the devil. It's all his fault for me when I give into temptation. But the Bible says there's already something in you that wanted that. See, a lot of times people get into situations and they say, I don't understand. Why did that person do that? Because they already had the capacity within them to do those things. Why did my husband divorce me? Well, the capacity was there for it to happen. And sometimes people begin to pray. They begin to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. They build themselves up. They begin to seek God. And some of those evil things that are within them, the desires that are not of God, rise up. And if they do not take authority with the authority that God has given them, and they don't recognize, I need to get that out of my life, and they decide, I don't want to deal with it, then it continues to affect their life. And they end up in a cycle. And they can end up doing things that they themselves didn't think they would do because they hadn't recognized those deep-seated roots that were on the inside. See, these are roots. The enemy wants to continue to keep you bound in those things, see? He wants to keep us down. He wants to keep those desires that are in our flesh. It's not in your spiritual man, but in that fleshly man, there are things that still linger in our soul, our mind, our will, our emotion. How many know all of us have suffered something in our life? Maybe it was very tiny. Well, my teacher told me I was stupid. Well, that's not so tiny if it continues on. I told you about the guy where his teacher told him he was stupid. He'd come into the classroom, sit down in the chair. Is your name so-and-so? Yes, it is. Is so-and-so your father? Yes, he is. This teacher had taught his father. She had been teaching so long. And he said, and she said, in this class, your name's stupid. For the whole class. And what ended up happening, he was not just called stupid in the class. How many know what the kids called him outside the class? How many know? Children are great, wonderful, but they can be mean. And praise God, he was able to overcome and he began to fulfill. He overcame that later in his life, but it affected him. He began to believe that. Until a few years later, he got filled with the Holy Spirit and God began to help him and he overcame those things. See, when we pray, like I was saying, in other tongues and those things do come up, it's because God is building up you stronger than those things that are on the inside of you. But you still have to say, Lord, show me your word. Help me to axe this out of my life with the word of God. See, he expects us to do something about it. Jesus already paid the price for it. He did all he can do. He'll help you with the Holy Spirit. Will help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll take you through. He'll guide you into all the truth. But he wants you to axe those lies out of your life so that you can build what? The truth of who you really are. That son, that daughter of the living God. That one that's a joint heir with the King. The one that's more than a conqueror. The one that can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. The one that doesn't say, hey, you're this or that. No, the one that says, you are a son of God. You are made righteous in him. You've been declared his very righteousness. You are important. You belong to him. You were paid with a price. You have value. You have strength. See, that's what God wants us to see. We can overcome. We have been given everything in the new birth to overcome all things. And so the decision becomes up to us. Are we going to use the authority against the enemy to overcome his temptation, to overcome his accusations, as we said last week, the accuser of the brethren? And then we're going to go on a little bit further here because sometimes, you know, people want to say, well, we said we don't want to hook up with what? The accuser of the brethren. Because we're hooking up with the devil, aren't we? His side. He wants to accuse us before God night and day. How many know that he comes to bring those pictures? He can run that reel right in your mind. You see him, you know, and you get in there and he comes and he's trying to, what is he trying to do? Accuse you. Hey, you're not who God said you are. No, you've been made righteous. You have received the robe of righteousness. You have been cleansed, the Bible says. My sin is gone as far as the east is from the west. I've been made a new creation. I belong to God. He is my Father. I am his son. I am his daughter. I am his child. I've been adopted into the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. There is good news in the house tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to continue on a little bit tonight and go over some more of these. I'm not going over every name of the devil in the Bible. There's several, but we are doing some so that we can see What is his position? What is his activity? What is his character? How does he operate? What's he going to do? How is he going to what? Deceive us. That is his primary goal, because he has lost his power when Jesus died on that cross. When he was buried and rose from the dead, his power was stripped. He has no authority over the child of God. Now, he's got some authority in darkness. He only operates in darkness. That's why when you shed the light and you find the light of God's word shining in your heart, you say, oh, that's me. I better change and do what God said. See, hallelujah. See, I was saved for many years before I realized we're in a fight. Oh my goodness, it wasn't really taught in my church. But I found out I'm in a war. That is, the devil is trying to destroy mankind, because mankind is God's what? It is his jewel. It is his prize. He said, we are his prized possession. We belong to him. He bought us back. Yeah, we were in the earth. We messed up. Adam and Eve did it. Their DNA came down to us. And yeah, we were born into a fallen race. Everyone on the earth was heading for hell. And now, unless we receive him, they still are. Everybody says, well, why is there so much trouble on the earth? Because men are sinful and separated from God. And the devil tricks us. He tricks them and gets us and them going together, gets them to do all kinds of things. See, in your death nature, if you're not born again, it can take you very, very far. Look at Hitler. He tried to conquer the earth, killed millions of Jews. We see it say that, but there are other leaders who did even worse. But Hitler had trained all these people right under the nose of their grandmothers and grandfathers. They didn't even realize what was going on. And they could shoot somebody and kill them, not think anything of it. Oh, no big deal. It's just a person, just a body. No, every person has a spirit, and they're all valuable. God is in the business of rescuing. Amen. Anyway, praise the Lord. We're moving forward. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Praise the Lord. How many think it's important to know our enemy? He said, be not ignorant of his devices. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, see? Not for a lack of zeal, not for a lack of love for God, but when we don't have the knowledge. He wants to keep people in the dark. And he makes me mad. Yeah, it's not fair to feel sorry for the devil tonight. Poor devil, he's in trouble, and he knows it. Amen. All right, verse number 3 says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So Satan's job, this one here, is the deceiver. We see him here. It says, but the serpent, the deceiver, as he what? Deceived Eve in the garden. He's looking to try to deceive us. You said, oh, well, we know that. Yes, you do. But sometimes, you see, deception is very deceiving. Because if you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. That's the problem with deception. You think you're right. You're sure you have the truth. Because why? You lack knowledge. And many people become deceived, and they sometimes don't get out of that. Many times. It's not easy. We get deceived, and Satan continues to deceive them. And what does it say? It says his craftiness, or by his cunningness, his subtlety, he comes where? That the minds may be corrupted. Do we see any corrupted minds in the world today? Amen. It says the Bible talks about what? As we come into the last days, evil's going to wax what? Worse and worse. It's not going to get better and better. It's getting worse and worse. However, God is going to have his revival. And we are going to take some millions with us, maybe some billions, hopefully. You know, we got to get these people born again. Amen. They need Jesus. And that's our job. And it's going to take some bold, confident, God-filled people to do the job. Because the enemy, of course, he uses what? He uses men. He can't just come and kill you, or he already would have. He has to get either talk you into it by deception, right? Or talk somebody else into it. To killing someone. To taking a life. He doesn't have that kind of power. But usually that's not how far he goes. He just brings the little things, doesn't he? Oh, you're not very worthy. You're just not worthy to receive God's love. Oh, what's his other little deceiving tactics? You can't understand that. You know, those are the things of God. You can't understand that. What else does he do? He comes and what? He deceives us with these lies. And when we see those lies, the Holy Spirit is our teacher and our helper. And with the Word of God, and reveals those lies and brings us what? We replace that with the truth. The truth, which is God's Word. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy Word is truth. It says, thy Word is truth. Amen. The Word of God is what is truth. And now some people don't believe that's the truth, but it doesn't matter, because truth is the truth by the merit of truth alone. You can't change the truth just because you think you can. Amen. How many know that's true? I mean, what are you going to do? 2 + 2 is what? 4. It's not going to be 6 tomorrow. It's not going to be 3. It's going to be 4. It's not a rocket science, I know, but it's important that we realize he's a deceiver. All right. And we know that one thing for sure, ignorance brings deception. What you don't know can kill you, destroy you. But when we have the knowledge of what God has said in his Word, that's why he comes. What does he come to do in Mark 4? He says he comes to steal what from our heart? Immediately, he comes to try to steal the Word out of our heart. The Word that God put in there. The Word that we heard in church. The Word that we read. He wants to try to get that out of there. But when we can get a hold of it, and we spend time praying in other tongues, and we let the Holy Spirit make it alive and real to us, and we understand it, then he cannot steal it from us, because it becomes part of us, bone of our bone. Amen. How many in here are born again? Are you sure you're saved? Well, what if you're not? Maybe you're not. No, I know I am. Why? You say, no, I know, like you know your name, right? We know we're saved because I have called on the name of Jesus, because I confessed him as my Lord. I believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and I said, Jesus, be my Lord. We know because of what God's Word said, not because of how we feel. You might not feel saved in the morning. See, you could raise somebody from the dead tonight, and you're still going to wake up, and you're going to have flesh in your life. You're going to have a human body and brain and all that. And you might not be so excited in the morning. You might say, well, you know, you may not feel like you were somebody that could raise the dead, but you did just last night. See, we can't base our life on what we feel, but on what we know to be true, which is God's Word. Anyway, so we have the deceiver. And number two, let's turn to 1 Peter 5. This is a good one too. That's a big one. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm going to read a few verses here, and we'll see this here. Okay. A lot of people know this one. That's all right. I'm going to read from verse 5 through 8 right now. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And then it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say he will. But I've got a little hint for you here, see? What makes you devourable? Well, here in this verse, it says, number one, I would say this. He says, submit yourself one to another. Amen. Over in Ephesians says, we submit one to another in the fear of God. In other words, in the Lord. Well, what does that mean? That means submit just means to give in. And we don't submit when we fully agree. Sometimes we have to do like it says here also. The second thing I see here, humble yourselves. A couple of times he says that here. He says, folks, you know, it says, yes, be submissive. What? And be clothed with all, with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So sometimes we might not be all right. We might not have everything perfect, but there, here again, we see a protection that can come in our surrender to the Lord, in our humbling our heart, in humbling our thought, and not have to be, hey, oh, I know it all. I know everything. I know. And I'm not saying that we don't stand for truth. We do. But sometimes we can get a hold of we need to get a hold of ourselves and say, hey, don't think of yourself, like he said over in Romans, more highly than you ought. But think soberly. And that's what he's saying here. Be sober and humble ourselves. And he says this, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. When we allow care to stay in our life, worry, anxiety, fear, that's really what the care he's talking about. Cast it on him. Why? Because those things can weigh you down and cause you to be devourable. It's the adversary, the devil, that's his name, he wants to devour some people if he can. It doesn't say he's a lion looking for people. He's like a lion. He's as a lion. Or we would say he's like a roaring lion. He's got a lot of roar. He's got a lot of talk, but there's nothing to him. He can't stop you unless you believe his lie. He is the adversary. He's trying to stop us, as we know. He wants us to think that he is dangerous as a roaring lion. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get you tricked. Oh, he's so powerful. You know, sometimes you see people. Oh, they put some witch powder on the front door, you know, and they get nervous. Well, we've got all authority over him. We take authority over those things that others might try and do. And we walk in the what? In the peace of God, knowing that he takes care of us. The blood covers us. We're covered in the blood. We're not worried. We're not afraid. Well, don't get me wrong. See, if you get afraid, then that power, it gives power to the enemy. It gives him the ability to come, the adversary, to devour us, to try to take us out. Hallelujah. But when we see it, when we see his tactics, when we see his tricks, we know that it's time to use that authority. And those who know the Word of God, they know him, and he can do nothing but roar. When we hear his roar, we don't have to fear. We say, Lord, oh, it's just you. It's just you, devil. We take authority over you in the name of Jesus. We resist you. We cast our care on the Lord. We trust him. Amen. All right. Let's turn to the next one I've got on here. That was adversary. He is an adversary to us. He is the one that's trying to oppose us, in other words. An adversary is someone that is opposed to you. He's the opposite of who we are. Let's go over to Zechariah for a minute. Let's turn there first, and then we'll go to the next one here. I believe it's Zechariah 3. Yeah. Zechariah is right before Malachi, if that helps you. It's in the Old Testament. Got Amos and then Zechariah or Jonah. Micah. Oh, I'm by Micah. That's why. Okay, there it is. Zechariah. Getting all confused here. I won't say anymore. All right. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says here, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at the right hand to what? Oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Rebuke thee, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not the brand plucked from the fire? So here we see Satan, he's standing at his right hand, what? To oppose him. That's the adversary, the opposite, the one that's opposing you. He didn't think anything like you. He doesn't want anything to do with you. He is what? Opposing us. So we don't want that. But we know how to keep him off, right? As we've been saying, as we've been looking through some of these things in authority, we're realizing that our surrender to the Lord, our submission to God's Word, our humbling ourselves before Him has a certain amount of protection in itself, because God gives grace to the humble. But when we get into pride and we know it all, you know, see, that pride can slip up on us and we don't recognize it, see, because the enemy comes as an angel of light. It says even his ministers, why wouldn't they be? Because that's who he is. But we are not going to be deceived. We're not going to be stopped by our adversary. Let's look at Acts 10:38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Some of you may, it's quite familiar, so you may already know this, what I'm getting ready to call him, but he is also the oppressor. So what is an oppressor? That's somebody that wants to rule over you. He wants to control you, to make it hard for you, to exercise that hard control, to try to stop you. He wants to bring things upon us like sickness and disease. He is the oppressor. It says here, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed, what? By the devil, for God was with him. And God's with you. And he gives you authority over the oppressor in your life. And also, when we walk with him and we allow him, we can help other people. Amen? How many know you can lay hands on the sick and they can recover? Amen. He wants to do that with us. So the oppressor tries to come and exercise control over us. One of his names is oppressor. Of course, we looked at it last week. John 10:10 is quite famous. The thief. Anybody ever heard the devil called the thief? Why? Because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. Let's look at John 10:10. We'll read it. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. There's good news in the house tonight. The thief may come, but we don't have to let him in. Amen? He may knock on the door. Now, sometimes he knocks on the door and people hand things over to him. You know, they just start giving it to him. But we don't do that. I mean, if a thief comes to your house, what do? You don't leave that. You either call the police who have the authority over him or you do something about it, you know. You know, you might get in trouble, but you beat him out anyway because he's not going to get your stuff. Or you say, hey, in the name of Jesus, I command that spirit off of him. Leave my house. Amen. Use my authority. You have a certain amount of authority here. You can call the police. You've got authority to do that. And they'll come and they'll arrest them, right? Or stop them from coming in and stealing your things. So that thief, who is the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It doesn't happen, though. He doesn't come. How many know he doesn't come? We said this last week, too, but it's worth repeating. He doesn't come with a pitchfork in his hand, a couple of horns on his head. Why? You know, a little tail hanging out? Because he'd stand right here. And you say, well, who's that? Oh, I know who he is. That's the devil. No, he doesn't come that way. No, he comes very subtly. Oh, you don't need to spend that time in prayer today. It's all right. You know? You need to mow the grass. Don't you know that? It's growing. Everybody ever had that happen? You go to prayer and all of a sudden everything you need to do starts coming to your mind. Well, get your little piece of paper. Write it all down, you know, as those things come. And get your mind. Your mind's just doing what it's supposed to do. When it gets quiet, it starts reminding you. That's part of what your mind does. Just write those things down. It thinks you're going to take care of it. And you say, oh, thank you very much, Mr. Devil. I got my list for the day. I know what I need to get done. See, you got two things done at once. You still spend your time with the Lord. See, get your mind set on Him. Amen. That's why it's good to worship. Why? Stills the enemy of our mind. See, it stills him. This is our battleground right here. We don't always think so, but it is. Hallelujah. He's not the only one that does that. So, anyway, he is a thief. That's what he is called. That's what he does. John 8:44. Let's go there. Oh, that's real close here. We're real close to that. Just turn back a little bit in your Bible. John 8:44. Did I say 34? I meant 44. John 8:44. You are of, Jesus is talking here. He says, you are of the devil and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Oh, my, 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 my. And so what I have here is that Satan is a murderer and liar. Those are a couple of his names. See, there's a demon of murder that gets on people. They don't just naturally go killing people. They think about it. See, they get those thoughts. Where do those thoughts come from? Ultimately, they come from the enemy. Sometimes maybe it's somebody else that planted that thought in their mind. Maybe it's something they heard or something they watched. Or maybe it was certain things that happened to them as a person, you know, in their life, as a child, or trauma they suffered, or whatever reason. But they still get to thinking about that, and that demon of murder gets on them, and they may kill someone, murder someone. There's a difference between killing someone and murdering them, really. I mean, you know, sometimes people are killed, but, you know, we don't want to see them when they're murdered. I mean, somebody planned it out. They wanted to get rid of them. You know, most of the time they planned it out, I should say, you know. Sometimes people do kill, and maybe it was a self-defense or something like that. You know, that's different. That's a killing, really. But murder, oh my goodness, you know, that's something that the enemy came. He's a murderer. He wants people dead. He wants to destroy them. And he is also what? A liar. We know that from the beginning. Who did he lie to? Adam and Eve, right? Eve believed. She listened to him long enough, and he was very subtle about it. How many know? Sometimes the enemy, he'll lie to you, but if he's good, which he is, he always puts just a little bit of truth in there, see? He just takes that truth. How many know if you take the truth and you twist it, it becomes a lie? It's not any more true. If you wanted to, poison an animal, you don't just go up and give them the poison. No, you put that poison in a nice piece of meat, don't you? Oh, there you go. He doesn't put a whole bunch of lie in there, just enough to try to take you out, try to stop you, try to neutralize your life, to try to make you believe that lie. Well, brother, it's all right. What lies you talking about? Like, well, now that you're born again, you just do whatever you want. Don't worry about it. God will forgive you. God, it's okay. God will take care of you. But the Bible says, if you live ungodly, you're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. You don't get to go. Because by your action that you chose on a consistent basis, I'm saying, I'm not talking about somebody that's struggling with something. I'm talking about those, you know, they choose to do evil. and go their own way. See, that they're not, you know, and they say, well, that's all right. Hey, God covers me. Don't worry about it. I can do whatever I want. I could do this sin and God's okay with it. No. No, when you start talking that way, you're in trouble. You need to repent real quick, because what can happen to people is they get out to a place, see, God will let you believe that lie. He didn't have a choice. He gave you free will. And you'll keep going in that direction. And you think, well, eventually I'm going to repent. But you may get over so far to where you come to what the Bible says is a reprobate mind. It means not that God would not take you back, but you cannot find enough in yourself to come back. It's a very dangerous place, because you consistently kept believing that lie and knowing that God's trying to draw you back. But no, God's okay with what I do. Don't worry about me. And it's not true. And it could lead you right to the enemy's place of destruction, which is ultimately in hell. And we don't want to do that. You say, well, how could that be? Well, the Bible talks about those that were deceived and deceiving others in the book of Jude. So they were twice dead, plucked up. What does that mean? They died physically, but then they'll die spiritually. They died. They were no longer on God's side. They were denying the Lord Jesus, not by saying, I deny the Lord Jesus, but what they were saying and by what they were teaching. The Bible says in the last days, there are going to be those that are deceivers. One of the greatest things that Jesus said, one of the first things he said, when you see these deceptions, men, we're getting closer to the end. And the enemy wants to deceive, as we know. But it was one of his needs. But here we have the other. So I'm just giving that out because I think it's important. We realize, hey, these are some of his lies. You know, and I'm not talking about any one person, but that doctrine was alive in the church during the New Testament. Paul had to correct it in Corinth because what's the guy doing? He's sitting on the front row with his father's wife. In front of everybody, probably a leader in the church. And they let it go on, and he didn't seem to care. Didn't bother him. Everybody can know. You know, he might, you know, because what was he saying to himself and probably to others? Oh, yeah, I know that, Paul. He said, you know, we shouldn't, you know, judge those that are without. But he wasn't talking about us, you know. We're within. We're already here in the church. But that's not what he said. He made it very clear when he wrote his letter. So apparently he was saying, no, we don't judge us. You know, we judge other things, you know, other people. And what I'm doing, you know, no big deal. It's no big deal. Hopefully it was a stepmother. But, you know, this is just part of the enemy's work, the lies that he tells. And then he tells us, I already said several, didn't we, earlier, hey, you're no good. Something wrong with you. You know, and he gets you thinking on those things, right? You're not worthy of God's love. You're not worthy of his forgiveness. I talked to a guy, too, one time. I used to throw a newspaper with him on a newspaper route and talk to him about the Lord. I really liked the guy, really, to be honest. He wasn't really all that great, but there's just something likable about him. And maybe the Lord was just drawing me to him, too. I talked to him several times, and he says, you have no idea of the things I've done. God can't forgive me. But there's no sin too great that God cannot forgive. There's nothing on this earth that's too great. Even Hitler, if he had repented, could have made heaven. But it has to be something of the heart. We got to remember, we believe in the heart, see? Many people believe. They believe Jesus is the Savior. He's the one. He'd been raised from the dead. They might even tell you that. But they will not confess Him as Lord from the heart. See, they don't want Him in. I don't want Him in my life. I know He's true. I know it's there someday, maybe. But right now, no. They're what? They reject Him. They're hoping that they'll have time before they die to confess the Lord. Maybe, maybe not. That's like playing Russian roulette, right? You know, oh, well, maybe you will, but many times people don't. I know one particular guy that was dying, and his son went to talk to him one last time to see if he would confess the Lord. And, you know, a lot of times you think, when somebody's dying, you know, I always thought, well, surely they would want to call out to the Lord. You know, I mean, he's dying. He's got, you know, he's still alive. He's just got, his liver was shot, and he's probably going to die soon. And you'd think, yeah, he would want to cry out to God. But, you know, sometimes people go so far. They've gone so long. He told them to get the blankety blank out of here, you and your God, and leave me alone. It was really hard. It really hurt my I knew this guy, and I knew his son. It's terrible. I mean, his son wept in his basement for 3 days, you know, knowing, you know, he tried everything. I said, well, did you pray for him? Yeah. But nobody can make somebody get saved. Not even God Himself. Now, your prayers are powerful because He will change every circumstance around them. He will do all that He can. He will send the angels of God. He will send laborers over and over and over. He will do everything that He possibly can. When it comes down to it, it's still the individual's choice. And hopefully, you know, if everything's cleared out by our prayers, we get all the enemy's tactics out of the way, they see clearly. Oh, it's heaven or hell. It's life or death. I see it. I choose life. You know, we think in our right mind, you know, people would do that. And that's the goal. And that's what our prayers can do. Yes. He said, I will do these things with you. I'll contend with those that contend with you. I'll save your children if you'll believe me. But see, it's going to take somebody that's got some faith for God to begin to work. Hallelujah. He does all that He can. He wants everyone to be saved. But it's not always so. You know, people get, like that's my point I was saying, people wait. And sometimes they wait too late. And they find themselves in a place where either they don't want to get back or they come on death's door and they think, hey, that's when I'll do it. But everything that he had done and thought against God over the years and refused is what came forward. What was really in them. No. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me about your God. Hallelujah. Well, how many know there's hope for everybody? Amen. Even though somebody, maybe they have cursed God, you know, there's, like I said, there's no sin too bad, you know. I know, you know, sometimes it seems like there can be. You know, we see certain things that happen and certain things that people do. But they're bound by the enemy and they need to be free too. There's hope for all men if they call upon the King. Because Jesus' power is greater. Hallelujah. That blood paid the price. Amen. All right. Let's pray and we'll... get ready to see here and what's next, if anything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And for a few moments, Father, we have looked into your word and we saw some things about our enemy, Lord, so that we will be forearmed, Father, and we will see his tactics. We will see his position, which is what? Under our feet, Lord, that we are seated in a position way over him. And he cannot destroy us because we do have authority over him, because we have been born of your Spirit. And you have given that same authority that was given to Jesus to us, so that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper, Lord. It may be formed, it may try to come, but it cannot prosper. So, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your great power that lives on the inside of us. That resurrection life, Father, that you've given us. And Lord, we thank you that when we submit to you and we humble ourselves before you, Lord, there is a protection that takes place. You give us grace, Lord. You grace us, Lord, to walk with you, and you keep us, Lord, from the deceptions of the enemy. Hallelujah.